This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes five times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We close the show with Bernie Miklas on Sports on a Sunday morning. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing good. You know, I've been listening to you and listening to John Mozeliak and all your other excellent guests and monitoring the college football playoff selection show. So it's been a very busy but very enjoyable Sunday morning so far.
Yes, it has. Thank you very much for listening. And we've had a great lineup of guests, including you. And I wanted to get your analysis, instant analysis, as the bracket was just revealed. So SMU gets that spot over Alabama. And, of course, ESPN milks it for all it's worth, takes it down to the last second, and reveals SMU over Bama. I am actually pleasantly surprised. I thought that the SEC muscle would be too much, but somehow, some way, the Mustangs got in there over the three-loss Tide.
Tom, I echo what you say. I really thought that, pardon the expression, I really thought that the fix would be in. I mean, we've seen it happen in the past with Alabama, although I must point out there was one year where Alabama was the number five and they didn't get in, even though TCU lost the conference championship game and TCU went to the tournament and actually won a game. So it has happened. It's not like Alabama always gets a benefit of the doubt, but I just assumed it would be this way again. It just seemed like Ward Manuel, the chairman of the committee, some of the stuff he was saying was being interpreted as like, well, you know, the teams that are not playing in a conference championship game, you know, there's nothing there that would hurt them, you know, where they are is where they are type thing. And I'm not quoting that exactly, and I apologize. But he was implying that, well, you know, we already know where Alabama is. That was how it was interpreted anyway. So I'm like you. I was pleasantly surprised that they went with SMU. And really, listen, Alabama, the outcome in that ACC game was the worst thing that could have happened to Alabama. Because one of two things had to happen. Alabama needed SMU to win. That didn't happen. Or they needed Clemson to win, but to do it in a way where they just blew SMU out. And listen, it looked like it was going to go that way because SMU was down 17 at the half and 17 going into the fourth quarter. So if Clemson had blown out SMU, I think they could have justified maybe bringing Alabama in. But the way that the Mustangs fought back, the way they just refused to quit. They scored 17 straight points before Clemson, to their credit, scrambled for that 56-yard field goal in the final seconds. That obliterated any possibility that you know, the committee would do something so vicious as to bounce SMU after what we saw last night. And here, one other thing about this, if I could, because yeah. I was thinking about this a lot. Listen, if SMU was in the tournament, so to speak, before the ACC championship game, the losing on a last-second field goal shouldn't cause them to drop below Alabama. If the committee thought Alabama was better last week in the rankings, which they did, it would not have had the Crimson Tide three spots below SMU last week. So Alabama's got better wins, but that was the case 5 days ago, and nothing's changed in that regard, so SMU should be in. The other thing, of the two teams, Alabama's blowout loss at Oklahoma was far worse than either of SMU's defeats to BYU or Clemson.
Yeah, true. I'm with you on that. So the way it's going to go down on Saturday, you're going to have Clemson, Texas. You're going to have Tennessee, Ohio State. This is the 21st. You're going to have SMU, Penn State. The winner of Clemson, Texas gets Arizona State. The winner of Tennessee at Ohio State gets Oregon, a possible Ohio State-Oregon rematch, although Tennessee's good. SMU at Penn State, winner gets Boise State. And then Friday night is going to kick the whole thing off, Indiana at Notre Dame. Are you kidding me? That is a great situation for IU. They're 2 hours away from Notre Dame. They get to go up there. I would imagine some of their fans are going to squeeze their way in there. Notre Dame's awfully good. Winner gets Georgia, which is daunting, but you got to take care of business first.
I love that they put those two teams together. You know, that was my favorite matchup that's coming out of this opening round, for lack of a better term, because there's just so much to it. What an opportunity it is for Indiana, because some people question their resume, and it is true. You know, they don't have a win against anybody who's in the top 25 right now. And so you could make a case to ding them. But I thought they deserved to be in there all along. Listen, there's never going to be a perfect way to do this. It's just not going to happen, because you can evaluate all these teams. There's so many different things. Some people prefer, well, strength of schedule's got to be the biggest thing. Strength of record's got to be the biggest thing. No, the conference you play in, like, you know, if you play in the SEC, you should be given more weight than if you play in the Big 12 or the ACC. And, you know, no, it's all about how many top 25 wins do you have? I mean, we all go around in circles, man. We chase our tails. And at the end of the day, there's not a perfect formula. And so there's going to be some questionable things. But I like the way this thing was laid out. I really do. I think all things considered, knowing that there's no way to make everybody happy, I thought the committee did a pretty good job. And I could nitpick a bunch of things, but what's the point?
No, exactly. It's the first 12-team playoff we've ever had. So let's enjoy it, and then we can figure it out from there. For me, last night was so enjoyable. I mean, I'm just sitting there enjoying a nice dinner down at Katie's Pizza in Ballpark Village, knowing that my team's going to be in tomorrow, and no stress whatsoever. Now I can stress again with Indiana having to play Notre Dame. It should be fun to watch it play out. We have 2 minutes left, Bernie.
Sure.
Your thoughts on the winter meetings. What, from a Cardinals standpoint, would you like to see accomplished?
I don't know that anything will be accomplished. And I'm not saying that in any way, shape, or form to suggest it's not important. In fact, I would, again, kudos to Camo X for sending Matt Pauley down there to be with Ricky Horton and Mike Claiborne. I think it's great. But I think John Mozeliak is still laying groundwork. And, you know, I listened to, of course, the interview that you just had with him and some of the comments he made to Katie Wu, The Athletic. The Cardinals, at least publicly, you know, they don't seem inclined at this point to trade either Ryan Helsley or Eric Fetty. And if they don't want to do that, or they don't do that, and they would only do it, I assume, if they got blown away by great offers, then really the one thing to watch this during the winter meetings is the continuing market, probably with only a few teams interested in Nolan Arenado. So I just think it's kind of a research week for Mo and his staff to see what kind of offers are coming in that would convince them to part with Helsley or Fetty. And the only reason I throw Fetty out there is because he's a walk-year guy, and the starting pitching market in free agency is going absolutely bananas. Teams are losing their minds. They're so desperate for starting pitching. So my thought is Fetty's a Scott Boras client. He's going to leave after this year, I would say 90%. So you trade one season of him to bring in like an influx of more young talent that's going to make you better in the future. From that standpoint, to me, it makes sense. But if the Cardinals are going to stay with what they have and not give these guys away cheaply, I appreciate that part of it. But they're in an interesting situation because they haven't been this way before. I mean, this is the first time in a long time where they're sitting in this position. But they sound like they want to still try to win and still be really competitive and put a good team on the field. I would suggest, hey, why don't you add to the roster you have? And I don't mean any big fish. We know they're not going to do that. So this is a really interesting winter meeting for John Mozeliak's final winter meeting because there's a whole different vibe to it.
Yeah, definitely. We'll have a big breakdown tomorrow at noon on the Gas House Gang. Bernie Miklas will join me along with Kevin Wheeler and Matt Pauly live from the winter meetings in Dallas, sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling, an American Standard heating and air conditioning dealer. Make sure you subscribe to The Bernie Show on YouTube. It's an absolute must. When big news breaks or big stories come out, he breaks it down like no one else. Thank you, my friend.
Tom, have a good rest of your Sunday, brother.
Appreciate you. It's coming up on noon on KMOX.